Welcome to the Energy Central Power Perspectives podcast. We bring leading minds from the energy industry into the podcast booth to discuss the challenges and trends that are transforming and modernizing our energy system. And now our listeners can submit a recorded question to a future podcast episode. Just look for the SpeakPipe link in the show notes below this episode and leave us a voicemail with a question for a future guest. And a quick thank you to Salesforce, our sponsor of today's show. Now, let's talk energy. I'm Jason Price, Energy Central podcast host and director with West Monroe, coming to you from New York City. And with me, as always, from Orlando, Florida, is Energy Central producer and community manager Matt Chester. Matt, as the energy landscape undergoes rapid transformation, utilities are facing a multitude of challenges and opportunities, from integrating new technologies to meeting ambitious sustainability goals. You recently covered the DistribuTech 2024 conference for the Energy Central community. How did you see the conversation about these topics take hold at this meeting of the minds?
Thanks, Jason. And yeah, I did have a great time at DistribuTech learning from the leaders in our industry. What I'd say is that in years past, the topics you mentioned, they're all top of mind aspirational goals, things like sustainability, modernization, security. But walking the conference floor and taking in presentations this year, while those topics were, of course, still ever present, it seemed less about talking about them in theory and more about the practical solutions ready to deploy today. And you know, the technologies, they're not theoretical anymore. They're happening in practice, whether that's in pilot form or already being rolled out at commercial scale. So the challenges, they seem more surmountable, and the topics people are eager to talk about are less about setting those goals and more about, you know, case studies and what's happening, and having those topics be ones that we can really get a grip on, and they're more tangible because of that. It makes the conversations that much more exciting, I think.
Yes, Matt, that's right. And these conversations will be more important in today's episode. We'll be diving deep into how technology can pave the way for more transparent, efficient, and trustworthy utility sector. And we'll do so with the assistance of Kelly James, a seasoned technologist with extensive experience in the energy industry. Kelly has been at the forefront of technological advancements within utilities and has witnessed firsthand the evolution of the industry towards a more customer-centric and sustainable approach. As the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Energy and Utilities at Salesforce, Kelly brings a wealth of knowledge and insight to the role of technology in building trust among stakeholders, streamlining operations, and driving innovation. From transparency and automation to intelligence and data strategy, we'll be exploring the key pillars that underpin the modern utility landscape. So, Kelly James, welcome to the Energy Central Power Perspectives podcast.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Matt, and a big thank you to Energy Central for having me today.
Fantastic. We're thrilled to have you. So, Kelly, we'd love to get a clearer picture about your background in the world of utility customer experience. And as it seems, the pathway you took to get to your current role at Salesforce plays a critical role in your vision for what the company is bringing to utilities today. So how did you end up here?
How did I end up here? big question there, Jason. Well, I'll start with I'm here coming live from Austin, Texas right now. It's where I live. I grew up in Texas, and I guess I've always had family and friends, and it's kind of, you know, here in the water that the world of energy here in Texas from as far back as I can remember, including I got a grandfather that worked in oil field services here in Texas. So fast forward quite a bit. My second job out of college in the early 2000s is the job that brought me to both software and to utilities and energy. It was my first software job was as a manual software tester for a company that was building CIS systems for utilities in early deregulated markets. So pretty quickly, I moved on from software testing, which was an incredible training ground, actually, to building, selling, and deploying customer information and billing systems, as well as really kind of the first generation of interval and meter data management systems for utilities, first in kind of emerging competitive markets in Australia, New Zealand, kind of Texas, UK, and then from there into more regulated utility landscape. So that was kind of the way back. I worked in that space, firmly in that space for about 10 years. And then after a short break from the industry, rejoined the technology space at Salesforce in San Francisco in 2014. So, and at the time, Salesforce was a fast growing, still is a technology company focused on CRM. But we didn't actually really have that many vertical software spaces. And certainly we were serving utilities, but we weren't serving the vertical in a targeted way at the time. So I loved the technology. I loved the mission and the people at that time, really kind of believer in Salesforce, but I wanted to stay in the utilities vertical. So I ended up actually leaving Salesforce after about a year and a half then and joining a company called Opower, if some of you remember, in the energy efficiency and demand side management space. From there, you know, I had the opportunity to work some incredibly smart people doing some things in early AI, which I think we're going to get to later in the space. And ultimately, Opower was acquired by Oracle. And at Oracle, I was able to work at that intersection of customer experience, energy efficiency, and back around to good old CIS and billing systems. But all of that was great, kind of great learning ground and great opportunity to work with some of the best companies, best people in utilities around the world. But I could really never get past what I saw as this great potential in the Salesforce platform to kind of meaningfully change relationships between, you know, customers, employees, and at that utility level. When I had the opportunity to do so around 2018, I jumped at being able to work with a partner to Salesforce who was building specifically for the utility industry. It was a company formerly known as Velocity that was later acquired by Salesforce. And I've been lucky enough since then for the past 5 years to help grow a team and to work with our utilities and energy customers to really kind of try to build the best energy specific software for customers and employee experiences in the industry. I'm lucky to get to do that every day.
That's fantastic. And it's been an amazing journey what Salesforce is doing in the utility space. And I think that for a lot of our audience, they may still be stuck in thinking of Salesforce as just a CRM company, right? But as the conversation at DistribuTech that you had with Matt and others, I mean, there's an endless, you know, areas of coverage that the power industry needs that you're bringing to the table. So talk to us about that. What are the ways in which CRM is evolving to be more encompassing energy relationship management, you know, solution?
Yeah. In that way, our CRM as our stock ticker is really kind of both a blessing and sometimes a curse there too. So that's fair. Yeah. I mean, Salesforce is a CRM and that's our roots. We're a 25-year-old company now. But what we're driving for across all different industries, and then specifically now in the utility industry, is that relationship platform. And especially in infrastructure heavy industries like utilities and energy, we are really the utility and energy relationship platform now, really supercharged by data and AI, and specifically working hard on the challenges in customer service, in field service, in the future of clean energy programs and the energy transition, and doing that across your customers, of course, but across your people, your employees, your assets, your data, and the work that you're trying to get done every day. The goal here is to use the CRM and the platform that Salesforce provides to unlock trapped data from your systems of record and your back office systems, and to facilitate and automate that work across all the different parts of the organization and in service of your customers. So we're helping companies like, you know, like Florida Power and Light here in the US, National Grid, Xcel, PSEG, TXU, to name a few, and others to really do that, to connect people, assets, data, and their work, and to really help supercharge customer relationships. It's about improving those relationships, but that's in service of the goal of operational efficiency. So we have seen and believe there's an opportunity right now, even today, to be at least 30, 40% more efficient. And AI is going to be part of that, of solving that challenge in a big way. So when we say we're more than a CRM, that's what we mean. I think some of the most common use cases we see are customer service and customer experience that folks are using Salesforce for, but also to execute on clean energy programs and manage that portfolio, as well as net zero and carbon reduction initiatives. Extensive field service across both customer and across power delivery and asset operations. And even what folks might not think of us for, but supporting teams who are working on grid resiliency and emergency management, crisis management strategies. Utilities in the US and around the world are using Salesforce for all of these things. And we've made some deep investments over the past 4 or 5 years that support these specific use cases in utilities, and even more so now with connecting, you know, more and more data and enabling AI for even greater efficiencies now.
Right. And, you know, knowing how the utilities operate, there are so many different stakeholders, so many different departments that need information, and many of them operate in silos. You're effectively basically breaking some of those silos down, improving the process, automating those processes, which is really a serious situation and necessary for the utilities. And more, I would say more so probably in the DER space than anywhere else. That workflow process is critical to make sure that all the different departments are aware of it. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. One of your, you know, alignments is in the DER space, basically accelerating the interconnection. Can you talk about what you're doing in that space and what's coming next in there?
Yeah, sure. It's actually an area I'm really passionate about personally. There's so much opportunity in this space to take the friction out of the system. And that's not just in real world, in physical world technologies, but it's in the human friction in the system. And to really kind of drive forward our systemic ability to connect distributed energy resources in order to accelerate the energy transition and do this efficiently. We don't have much of a choice. We're going to have to go faster and operate more efficiently. Utilities know this, and they're working hard on this challenge. All of the energy sector knows this. And we're trying to help where we believe we can best, which is in that connected tissue between different parts of the utility, as you said, and thank you for saying it there. But yeah, in the unlocking of the silos of data and the silos of work, and connecting utilities to stakeholders, to customers, and to workers, and getting the work flowing more efficiently. Some of it's about real-time or near-real-time sharing of data. That's critical. But actually, you know, just as much, some of it is about really more efficient data into planning and into execution of design, and taking that, as I said, human friction out of it, reducing the unnecessary delays in the process, and getting those distributed resources connected faster. So really, we're seeing, I think everybody's aware, there's kind of a record pace rollout of different types of larger scale utility renewables, as well as smaller scale distributed, you know, resources. And all of this is taking longer than anybody had hoped. So what we are working on with utilities is we're working to equip field teams to be faster and smarter about DER deployment. And some of that includes, you know, AI Einstein co-pilots sitting right next to them, helping them understand their work in the field more quickly and easily, and summarize things to get them onto the next set of work more quickly. We're also, Salesforce is providing generative AI tools to automate different, like we said, common tasks, but also to execute on more sophisticated scheduling and dispatching of workers. So that's not just in short cycle work, but that's also managing medium and long cycle work. So how can we get the work flowing? So the folks, they're doing the hard physical work out in the field every day, and also the administrative work to execute on moving these queues, moving these connections through the queue faster. There are so many points that can have little leaps and big leaps here, and AI and automation is helping us do that. Maybe give you one example of one of our customers. Sunnova is a customer of ours, not a utility, but they're deploying and managing, you know, a lot of rooftop solar installations. And they've done some pretty sophisticated things using AI to take out those repetitive tasks and to speed up field processes. So they use Salesforce MuleSoft integration capability to connect across their different asset systems and their customer systems, and connect directly with the assets in order to do a better job of sort of managing the process of installation, as well as managing things like predictive maintenance actions. They're also using AI to automatically create service cases in order to kind of more quickly execute against managing those distributed energy resources. And they're guiding agents to things like resolving calls faster with real-time sentiment analysis and next best action. Those types of, you know, small nuggets of work that accelerate all of this are going to be key to the overall accelerating of the energy transition.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's such a high profile issue. And I think sometimes our listeners may not fully appreciate the context of all this. Every state has climate goals, and it's really going to come down to how quickly you can get these interconnections through the you know, through the queue completed so that we can get, you know, roll out more DER. It's critical and on every level, and it's a really high profile issue.
Yeah, big and small. I think we like to talk about that a lot. What we can do in a big way to make big change, but also like thousands and thousands of points of small change can also make a bigger change as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about everyone's favorite two vowels, AI. You brought it up and there was no shortage of it at DistribuTech 2024. Anyone who attended it, there was constant discussion about AI. So let's talk about that for a minute. How do you see AI playing a role in utilities? And what does this mean in streamlining processes within utilities and its overall impact, especially as it relates to O&M costs?
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, you can't get through two sentences without saying AI these days, can you, or hearing it from somebody speaking? And we're no different, but I think we are different in the way we're actually acting on it. I hope folks will find. But, you know, there are tremendous opportunities for efficiency gains. And we've even in our current customer base, we've deployed a lot in terms of AI within our Salesforce platform and the CRM. And we're already seeing like just these key points of 20, 30, and 40% gains in efficiency across different types of operations, service operations, sales operations. And I think what we should actually first talk about is that utilities have been executing on, you know, powerful analytics and predictive AI for years, actually. So this isn't, you know, it's an industry that actually has been doing a lot with data for a while. Things like, you know, load disaggregation or solar EV detection or weather modeling, different types of predictive AI and different types of analytics to do a lot of sophisticated work for a long time. But the difference in this moment, there are a couple things. First, data previously had largely stayed like locked in a silo or locked in a single set of hands to, you know, a few people with the control of that and with the ability to act on that data and to do something with it. But it wasn't actionable at scale. And I think that's this moment where we have now where predictive AI and generative AI, which is the massive change that has come in the last year plus, right, that is able to create this powerful combination of actionable data at scale in the flow of work that generative AI now powers and pushes through. So it's that combination of data, AI, and CRM. And it has to be trusted, that in AI and CRM, that is letting us now unlock and make all of these things actionable and automated in many cases. Some examples of that, what it really looks like in practice, I mean, we can start with customer service and residential customers. It looks like things like one-click service appointment scheduling, just bam, done. Using the system to take minimal preferences, like the data it already has, to execute efficiently on service appointment that you can actually rely on. So it's not this, you know, all day window. It's I'm on my way. And then it looks like Uber-like tracking of technicians. It looks like then natural language answers to customers and to reps in the field that make sense. You know, it's not like a bot talking at you. It is a bot, but it's explaining to you something really meaningful about your account or about this customer's account and about, you know, why their energy usage has changed in a way that's grounded in data and in their own account and highly personalized. For business customers, right, and key account managers, it's more about using the data across systems to create a holistic view of energy for that business. It's about recommending strategies for energy savings that have a true return on investment, and helping walk them through capital investments, as well as providing carbon reduction advice. So it's about this combination of predictive AI, helping to understand the data and also analytics, and then executing that using generative AI to help accelerate the process of communication. That's the big change here. And I can kind of go on, I won't, but I could go on with examples where we're kind of using that to enhance scheduling and dispatching of field teams to really do both, you know, be much more efficient and then even calculate other types of models, environmental factors, urgency into that. And then field workers is another place where we can enhance safety and also help execute work faster with pre-work summaries and intelligent truck inventory and automated wrap-up of tickets. There are so many use cases out there where we can take that applied generative AI in the flow of work to create efficiency in action.
Yeah, the practicality of it all, right? It's very practical. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about another theme that came up at DistribuTech, and actually it came from you, and that is the theme around trust. So here we're talking AI, we're talking automation, we're talking our energy system. So I'd like you to elaborate on the theme of trust and talk about this across your partnerships and your stakeholders. And how can technology platforms both inspire the theme of trust and utilize it in the evolving power sector landscape?
Yeah, well, trust is the bedrock of what I think everybody's trying to do here, whether every company talks about it or not. Like at Salesforce, we do talk about it a lot. We have five core values, and it's the first of them. And that's because we were kind of born in the SaaS software landscape. And the first and most important thing 25 years ago about SaaS software was, do we trust this other company with our data? And that's just core to what we do for a long time. So in the world of AI, it's an extension of that for us. For utilities, it's an extension of kind of their core promise to their customers as well and to their stakeholders of safety, reliability, and affordability. So as a public service, as an essential service, to kind of maintain that, they use this term maybe more in Australia than the US, but that social license to operate, right? To maintain that, like it's all about trusted relationships with the stakeholders in the community, with customers across all of the business connections and partnerships. So I think about, we at Salesforce think about trust in everything we do. As it applies to AI, there is a pretty serious amount of variation in the offerings out there today and how they are executing on using data, working within large language models and applying trust to AI, right? And there's a real need to, we believe, to embed trust at the heart of the relationship between all of these companies, the people that they serve, and in the use of AI to ensure that we are acting with integrity when we are bringing in these really powerful tools into the relationship. So I think everybody's out there, probably everybody listening here has used or experimented with AI at some point now. Like, you know, it's sort of too much of a cliche to say, raise your hand if you use ChatGPT now. So everybody kind of gets that you ask a question or you put into this model a query, and they're powered by these really big, powerful models underneath, and the models are fed data that come from the public. And from that, we get these answers to these questions. That's great. It's working well. It's learning still and working great for basic consumer needs. But it's not great from a business perspective in that consumer form by itself, because every company, you know, really wants to understand how they can harness that power of that consumer AI. But in order to do that in a way for business and actually achieve these efficiencies at scale, like, they have to answer some really important questions. So that is, how can I trust the source of the data that is coming and that is being introduced into the conversation with AI? Is our data, is my data as a utility or as an energy company secure? And am I complying and protecting the data of my business and my customers, things like PII and other things? And how do I control for things like hallucinations and toxicity? And then, so that's just to make it safe and trusted. And then how do I make it good, right? How do I connect the systems of record and my source data and all of these things? How do I get the AI to actually understand my customer in the context of my business and kind of turn what looks like magic in the consumer space into something that's really applicable to business? So that's what we've set out to solve. And that's what we've spent over 10 years really driving at ethical AI development. And so that was something we started well long ago and have been participating in for many, many years and have, you know, some 300 AI patents at Salesforce. But the last 2 years, year and a half, have been incredible. And so the way we are approaching this is by building into every step of the way when we're working with utilities and we're working with any customer, those layers of trust so that your data is your own or your customers, depending on what industry you work in and what country. The AI models that we're deploying with Salesforce learn and improve based on your own data, but in a really secure and a protected environment where your company's data doesn't leak out to the public large language models. So we're able to kind of pull the best of consumer, combine it with the best of secure, grounded data from within your company, from either within Salesforce or using our data cloud technology connected to all of the other source systems that you have, and then using that to execute on kind of all those tasks we just talked about right in the flow of work. And before we present anything back to a human at all, we're checking it for toxicity. We're checking it for hallucinations and we're auditing all of it. So that like mechanism of secure data, securing your data, trusted AI is critical and is really differentiated in the industry. Like the amount of time and effort we put into making sure that this is something that is trusted, again, kind of our number one tenet here, and that you can use to get really good results. So full circle back, what are we trying to do? We're trying to use the data that we have, unlock it, and give us like fantastic information for our customer or about our assets or our fieldwork teams that they can act on much faster and to get the, those efficiency gains. So that's how we're thinking about it differently. That was a bit of a long one for you, Jason, but I think there are real differences in how this is being executed in the industry right now.
Sure. All right, Kelly, I want you to sit back and reflect on your history in this industry in the following way. And I think it's really interesting what you bring to the table and your perspective, because it's rather unique. You could be a CEO of a utility and you'll see things from a certain perspective, but your eyes have to be everywhere. From your perspective, certainly you have a, you know, wide enough landscape, but it's perhaps a little bit more narrow because there's a customer-centric component here. So what I'm getting at is that I just would love to hear from you. You bring and you experience the crossroads of the evolution of this industry from a technology standpoint, from a modernization standpoint, and most importantly, the customer and the relationship, that unique relationship that the utility has with the customer, which was not always been so favorable, but you've seen over time how the utilities, you know, are turning that massive ship and treating the customer as if it were, you know, like the treatment in other industries. So I'd love to hear from you, if you could. Think of an event, or does something stick out regarding this journey that, you know, really sticks with you? What is an impact of this transformation that you've experienced on the utility operations and its overall relationship with its customers? Do you have an anecdote or an experience you could share, and just your general thoughts around that whole journey you've been taking and witnessing?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and trying to kind of like ground it in a moment is tricky, but you know, I think we all have moments that stick with us when we've been working with either customers or utility employees. And I think, you know, sometimes the ones that get you and stick with you are when we, you know, when, you know, a program has struggled and then you kind of can have a breakthrough. I remember, well, there's an instance not that long back, but we're trying to work with a company to improve a deployment of software. And, you know, their IT teams are doing their best to work with the business teams, et cetera. And we're in a workshop with some users and they go, no, like you don't understand. We are increasing, if we don't make a change to this, we continue to have increases in the number of our folks calling out sick with repetitive stress injuries. So to hear that the process that was in place today, that the software, whether, you know, legacy or new software is putting in place, is actually injuring people. Like that's the kind of thing we need to really center when we're thinking about users, when we're thinking about customers, when we're thinking about like deploying technology. So hopefully that's a story that we never have to hear again at any company that I'm working with. So to turn that to the positive, I think what we see be incredibly successful, right, is when these moments when IT works hand in hand now with the business and with the customers to create successful change across the board. And what had to happen to make that a reality is the technology had to catch up to a point where you could iterate in moments sitting next to people, which is where it is now, like where you can sit side by side with somebody from the business and maybe somebody who's like semi-technical IT and work through the problem together, go, yep, no, let's make a change. Let's see, does that work? Yes. Is that, and then you can do this true kind of A/B testing of different types of processes with customers. And being able to kind of experiment and fail fast and iterate fast, like the technology did not support that a while back, you know, not too long in the past. And you could do it maybe at a design level, but then you still were sort of waiting for 6 months for IT to kind of spit it out the other side, right? So that step change in how we can actually work together on technology is then key, kind of bringing it back around to the energy transition question. Our customers are generators now, right? Our customers, residential and and most, you know, very importantly right now, our largest customers are actively involved in a way, and we must have them involved in a way they never had to be before. And so are partners that utilities never had to work with before or never, you know, really needed to. So OEMs, automotive companies, all of the contractors deploying different types of energy efficiency and distributed energy resources, EV charging, like the connected fabric of the industry has to and is getting tighter in order to create the efficiencies we need for keeping pace and even accelerating the energy transition. And sort of, it can't come fast enough. You know, there was a time when with all these kind of core tenants under pressure, everybody would say, let's slow down, let's be measured. We still need to be smart and measured, right? But going slower now increases risk. So we have to be able to continue to pick up the pace and work together to accelerate these different facets of the industry that are going to get us there faster. So there's huge opportunity. I think there's also tremendous opportunity in like the folks that continue to enter the job force who want to work in clean energy and sustainability. And if we can kind of connect the dots on these are the jobs that drive this forward. We have the technology to help do it. And this is it, you know, these industries are great places to work to make change. Then I think we've got tremendous opportunity here.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. So Kelly, you know, we're going to give you the last word in this podcast, but first we have what's called the lightning round, which gives us an opportunity to pivot to learn a little bit more about you, the person, rather than you, the professional. We typically ask about five or six questions. We ask you to keep your response to one word or phrase, and let's have some fun. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it on. All right.
Okay. All right. First question. Favorite travel destination and what makes it so special?
New Zealand. I used to live there, and it's South Island's one of the most beautiful places on earth.
What's your comfort food?
So mac and cheese or our family recipe for jalapeno cheese grits. It's a tie.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any hobbies or interests that might surprise your peers?
I love photography, fine art and documentary photography. And I actually went back and studied it in school just for fun.
Interesting. As a native Austinite, what is a must-see in your hometown?
Okay, Barton Springs. And the bats. Look up the bats also.
I'm familiar with the bats, yeah. We offer you the opportunity to ask a future guest a question. So related to energy or off the wall, do you want to challenge a future guest to answer a question?
Sure. We talked a lot about interconnections, and I think about it from a software and operations perspective, but I have a lot of great colleagues, friends, and acquaintances in the policy space. And I would love to hear more creative solutions across policy and across business stakeholder, you know, continuing the creative conversation about how to accelerate and rationalize the interconnection bottlenecks. Let's keep that conversation going.
Okay. And just to remind you that this is one word or phrase response. This last question may be a bit tough, but try your best. Lastly, what are you most passionate about?
Personally, my family and spending time with them. Professionally, people powering the energy transition.
I like that. Nice job. And I said we'd give you the final word. So knowing that the utility leadership is listening to this podcast, what message would you like our listeners to take away from this episode?
It's about people and people powering the energy transition. But from a Salesforce perspective, there's a lot you can do today with AI-powered energy relationships, and you can today be 30% more efficient. So we'd love to continue helping all the utilities out there with that.
Fantastic. Great insight. Love the wisdom. Love the insight you've shared with us today. Really, I'm fully confident we're going to see a lot of activity from the Energy Central community where they will post their questions, and hopefully, Kelly will send them on to you, and you can answer them directly. But thank you so much. Yeah, we will send them on to you. And hopefully you'll come back and we'll check in and see what's coming up and what's changing and what's new and exciting in Salesforce maybe a year from now or even less than a year from now. So we want to thank you for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Awesome. And you can always reach Kelly through the platform where she welcomes your questions and comments. And we also want to give a shout out of thanks, of course, to the podcast sponsors that made today's episode possible. Thanks to Salesforce. Energy and utility companies trust Salesforce's number one AI and CRM platform to lead the transition to a clean, equitable energy future. Learn more at salesforce.com. And once again, I'm your host, Jason Price. Plug in and stay fully charged in the discussion by hopping into the community at energycentral.com. And we'll see you next time at the Energy Central Power Perspectives Podcast.